that across the board.
For me,
I want that across the board.
And I think we need to get back to space.
Amongst friends, conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another, yes, I said another exciting episode of Amongst Friends, where the conversation is always for the grown and sexy. Tonight, we are going to be talking about what it takes to have a great relationship and also discuss the ingredients to a great relationship. Tonight, as always, I am hosting with my family, my loved ones, my Amongst Friends crew. So we got Jeff, we got Q, we got Heather, we have Deidre, and we have Brittany. And we're going to be talking about some grown and sexy conversation. So first off, we definitely want you guys to call in at 760-683-2662. Again, the number one more time is 760-683-2662. You can also join us at www.blogtalkradio.com/amongstfriends. Again, that's www.blogtalkradio.com/amongstfriends. You can also join us in our Facebook group, just Amongst Friends Radio Talk Show. And that way, for those of you who are shy, although you don't have no reason to be, you can type in and talk to us a little bit about the conversation tonight in the Facebook group, Amongst Friends Radio Talk Show. So now that you know how to call in, now that you know how to get in contact with us, please remember this show is about you guys. This is for you. It's not about us. It's for you. And we'd like to hear from you tonight. So let's get right into it. What it takes to have a great relationship. I think a lot of people struggle with, you know, just having a relationship, you know, making a relationship work between two people is often a difficult thing. So sometimes it's just like, look, we just want a relationship. How do you expect us to have a great one when we just struggling to keep a relationship going, trying to keep a relationship afloat? And so I think a lot of times we start stuff without having a good plan or having a great plan of action. And so that's why I think it's important for us here on Amongst Friends that we talk about the ingredients of a great relationship and what it takes to make a relationship work. Because that's the thing that a lot of people just don't grasp. We know that there's physical attraction. We know that, you know, somebody spits some good game or has a good line. And, you know, the two people hook up, opposites attract, or, you know, you're attracted to one another by common interest, or your friends set you up on a blind date, or however you guys got together, you know, you guys click, y'all have that chemistry, what have you, and now you're together. But navigating, staying together after the butterflies and after all of those different things have already occurred or already happened, now we're trying to plan, now we're trying to figure out how to make the relationship work. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. We definitely want to discuss how to make a relationship work, how to make a great relationship. And, you know, what are the ingredients? So, again, that number is 760-683-2662. And I want you guys to be looking forward to talking about what the ingredients are. And so, I guess, what's going on?
We're going to give them a little bit of that oregano. Some,
yeah, you know.
Some oregano,
oh my God.
Some thyme, a little bit of cheese.
Yeah, so let's, I mean, yeah, let's talk about some of that oregano. Let's talk about what's that, the salt and pepper, the things that make a relationship work. But I want to start off by asking, what do you think are some things that make a relationship work?
Communication.
Okay, communication.
I think being a great listener, listening before speaking helps.
Okay, so listening.
But that falls under communication, right?
Well, yeah, it does. Yes.
Okay.
Well, I also think praying together is a good one as well.
Okay, I like that.
I think this is what people miss sometimes. I think you have to expect and respect each other's faults. I think what happens sometimes is everybody expects perfection. And for the first couple of weeks, or the first month, it's fine because everything is brand new. But when you run across, what happens when you run across a disagreement? That's where you know you have to work your hardest to make that relationship go. I mean, expect and respect each other faults, and just take it from there. Take your time with it and just take it from there.
Okay.
Well, you know, to kind of piggyback on what Q was saying, I've seen a couple of times on Facebook this little image that says that everybody, it goes along the lines of everybody has baggage, and you hope to find someone who will love you enough to help you unpack. And so no one's perfect. So it's kind of recognizing that everybody has different life experiences, different beliefs, and then being able to come together and allowing those differences to merge versus trying to get one person to come to the other person's way of thinking.
Thank you, Deidre.
Mm-hmm. See how we came together, Q?
Well, that's good that you guys are coming together. I definitely agree with a couple of things that, matter of fact, just about everything, you know, my amongst friends family were saying on making a great relationship or what it takes to have a great relationship. One of the things I found interesting was the whole respecting or accepting one another's faults. And Q, I believe that was you that said that, so I want to give you an opportunity to kind of dive into that a little deeper because that's awesome. I think that is one of the pieces that we all miss, and then Deidre alluded even further to it that, you know, we have everyone comes with baggage. So I guess my question is, Q, or rather, could you kind of talk a little bit more what you meant by respecting or accepting one another's faults.
Well, it just relies on the fact that, you know, no one's perfect. You know, we all have issues. We all have issues. We all have, like, little personal problems coming into a relationship, especially if the previous relationship wasn't good at all. So, you know, if you come out of a bad relationship, you know, you have time to, like, think about it, think about the good things you did, think about the bad things you did, do some reflection, and once you decide to try again, you know, how can I explain this? don't get stole, Robinson. You know, it's just like, you know, there's no person who is 100% problem free. There isn't. So, you know, what I tell people is, you know, I say that everybody has shit with them. The hardest part is finding that person who shit compliments yours. And you know, and that's basically it. Once you get with somebody and you're honest and upfront, you know, with everything, and I think that's a problem too with some relationships. It's a lack of honesty. And I guess when you try to look for somebody, you just say whatever in order to get with that person. You lie. I guess you lie because you really, really dig that person and you don't want to mess anything up.
Mm.
So you lie, or, you know, you deceive something in order, instead of being straight up honest, you know, with your problems and issues that you have. If you lay everything out on the table in the beginning and say, you know, blah to this, you know, I have a problem with this, I have a problem with that, you know, communicate, like someone said, communication is the most essential thing in a relationship. Be honest and be truthful. You know, everybody got stuff with them. You know, come to the, you know, compromise table and just take it from there. If everything work out, fine. If things don't, that's fine too. Keep it moving.
Yeah, I definitely think that coming to the relationship honest and truthful is probably, you know, up there, is definitely up there with communication, because when you start off with a lie, oftentimes when you start off with a lie, you're either going to have to finish with one or keep the lie going. And so, you know, that, I mean, it doesn't make for a great relationship when you've built it based on a lie. I think also, just going back to accepting or respecting one another's faults, is just going back to that. I think that is important in trying to build a good relationship, because I think it was Brittany that it was either Brittany or Jeff, I can't remember, because we were all just spitting, you know, just flowing so nicely. But I think accepting, you know, not looking for perfection And I think that's where the accepting one another's faults comes in, is when it's just like, okay, I'm looking for the perfect relationship. I'm looking for the perfect man. I'm looking for the perfect woman. You know, we talked a couple of shows about that list, about that person meeting everything on our list. And here again, I think we fall short, because when a person doesn't meet every standard or every expectation, then we're no longer interested in the relationship or interested in doing the work or being willing to do the work. And so
exactly.
I think when you accept someone's faults, it's not that you're saying that, oh, it's okay for you to F up, or it's okay for you to do wrong or be lazy or what have you, but I think it's more so accepting that this person is fallible, that the person will, you know, that the person isn't perfect. And I think when you come to that place, you're able to say, you know what, I'm going to accept that you are going to fall short, that just, I really just believe it opens the door for better communication and open communication. When you have two people just saying, look, we both are imperfect, so I'm not going to set the bars incredibly high that your humanness or your imperfections aren't able to reach or able to work on. And it just sets a better stage. And then, you know, like you said, if you come in there honest, you come in there real, then, you know, a person can see you for who you are and can better gauge, am I willing to deal with this in a relationship? Because go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No.
What I was going to say is, you know, when you mentioned the bar, it's like, you know, you have, when you come honest to the relationship, you have a chance to raise that bar 10 or 12 fold. You know, and that's the good part of it. And also, it's kind of hard, because also, what I like to say that is, you know, being in a relationship is a business. And what I mean by that is it's hard work. And I hope that nobody comes into a relationship and once they get in, that's it. It's hard work. It's hard work to maintain, basically because you're not dealing with your personality and traits, but you're dealing with your significant other's traits and everything that he or she comes with also. So you have to, the good thing and the bad thing is meshing both personalities together as one.
Mm.
And that's what I was, you know, about to want to reiterate also.
All right, so listen, if you guys are listening to the show, and I can see from the Facebook post that we have people listening, I definitely want you guys to call in and give your 2 cents, 760-683-2662. Again, that number is 760-683-2662. You can also, again, join us in our Facebook group at Amongst Friends Radio Show. Radio talk show. And you can join us on Twitter. That's right. You can follow us. You can send your tweets right here on Twitter. If you just go to @amongst_friends. Again, that's @amongst_friends. You can join us right there on Twitter. So I just want to read a couple of the things that people are saying in our Facebook post for those of you who are listening on the phone and can't get online or get to the Facebook group. One of our group members said, I agree, you love people for the flaws you can live with. That's what makes long-lasting relationships. And someone responded and said, for me, I think that it's loving them in spite of the flaws. And I agree with both of those things. And then someone said, knowing that while a person isn't perfect, he or she is perfect for you. They said honest communication, not brutal, though, but being honest and allowing yourself to be true to you when you are telling your mate something that helps the relationship but may sting a little bit. And they gave an example, baby, you are smelling like the outdoors. Please go take a shower and not expletive your expletive stink. Get out my face. Another listener said, identifying friendship as a foundation. Now, I sort of kind of, I do agree with, let me say this, I do agree with establishing a friendship first, but I don't fully agree with friends dating.
What? Why not?
Let me say this. I said I don't fully agree. I didn't say I don't agree. I do think that some people start off as great friends and they end up having great relationships. And I do think a good friendship or building a friendship with your partner is very important, because sometimes that friendship is going to hold, you know, going to be what holds you guys together when everything else not working. But I don't think every friend, maybe let me phrase it that way, every friend should date their friend. And I say that because I just think that sometimes being in a relationship with a friend can ruin the friendship if the relationship doesn't work out. And I just think friendships should be treasured or valued a little bit more instead of jumping into a relationship. And you are, especially when you know when you get out of relationships, you're not like the best person. Because a lot of people aren't good at breaking up.
I have to agree with you.
Yeah, but you can't.
Brittany, go ahead, baby. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I heard you say something.
Oh, yes. I was starting to say something. I was agreeing with Joey only because I've been in that situation before where I was friends with somebody for a long time, and then we got in a relationship for about 2.5 years. And then after that, it's like he absolutely hated me. He didn't want to be friends anymore, and it just ruined a great friendship. So I definitely agree with you, Joey, with what you're saying as far as not dating somebody that you're, you know, good friends with.
So what you do? What you do?
You said, what did I do?
Yeah, what you do?
I didn't do anything. I just think that once the relationship was over, he was just really bitter about stuff, and it was just hard for him to, you know, get over the relationship.
So,
it was like he didn't want to be friends anymore.
So it's all his fault. You didn't do it.
I won't necessarily blame it on him, but, you know, I was open to still being friends, and he didn't want to be friends. He pushed me away. And now he wants to be friends, and I'm kind of like, you know, not feeling it.
No,
I mean, he thinks I did something, but I know the truth, so. Cool.
Okay. Yeah, I think that friends can, become better when they get to relationship status. Because simply of the fact that friendship is the base of every relationship, period. You know, it's kind of asinine for your significant other to not be a friend. It doesn't mesh. And I also think that if, well, you know, I don't know what, you know. I just think that if the relationship goes sour, 99% of the time, once the relationship over, that friendship is still there. I don't know what Brittany did in hers. That's she a whole new different dynamic. But I just think that you know, what if the relationship is over? You know, everything is back to square one and becoming friends. It's just simply the fact that, you know, it didn't work out for whatever reason.
I mean, and you know what, Q? Oh, my bad. Go ahead, Jeff.
I was going to say, I mean, if you, somebody in the Facebook page said, personally, I think that a true friendship can survive a relationship. Now, the operative word there, of course, is true. And that is also a treacherous word, because, you know, if it's a situation to where, you know, two friends do get together, it depends on how deep that friendship was, how tight that friendship was, before it moves or morphs into a relationship. And then in that relationship, it also depends on how that relationship ends as to if they can become friends again. Because, I mean, come on, let's be real. You know, I know for a fact there's power in the ex. And if you sort of broke up with somebody on, let's say, what I would say, amicable terms, you are definitely, when you get together, when you see them, you act on old emotions. You act on physical attraction. You act on sexual attraction. So, you know, you going and chilling with them, go to the movies, you know, that might have been something in a relationship where that was a setup for you to get at the person. And now you're trying to go as a friend now, just a friend, trying to be platonic, trying to, you know, letting that shoulder because you just want to go hang out, and it doesn't always go that way because you get caught up in the moment. So I just think that it depends on, you know, what you have as, you know, stock in that friendship, stock in that relationship, and then how you transition in and out.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that's the key. And kind of what the point, I just believe that, in my book, and this is just my opinion, but I do think that friendships are very important, because it is in your friendship, that's where you branch out from family, you know, those are the people, when you choose your friends and you choose them wisely, like those are the people that are really there for you, not just an acquaintance, not just somebody you hang out with, but like your friend, like your peoples. And so crossing over into the territory of relationship, I think when it's between, because it's like Jeff said in the Facebook group, it's going into a relationship is risky, whether it's two strangers or it's two friends. And I agree with that. It's risky. And so my point is, if two friends should go into a relationship, I think they should go into it with the mindset that they have to remember they were friends first. And that way, even if there's a breakup, because like Brittany, I've been in this situation where we were great friends, but the relationship didn't quite go that well when we broke up. And it was the way we broke up with one another. It was the way we handled the breakup that ruined the friendship. And at the end of the day, I try not to live in regrets. I try not to worry about regrets, but I do. But I do regret losing my friend because of the way that I behaved and the way that she behaved in our breakup. And you know, lost a good friend. And so I just think that I'm a little more cautious now. Well, now I don't have to worry about it because I did marry my friend. And we, you know, my wife is my friend, but we were strangers and we became friends. And we're still working to become friends, but I would just strongly suggest that people who are friends, who date, just remember that they were friends first. And, you know, after the breakup, things don't work out, just remember your friendship. So now that we're done with that little PSA.
I think sometimes, you know, friends, the relationship between the friends change, and it shouldn't. You know, it's like, okay, we're friends. Huh?
Okay, see, you don't want to, you want to be very careful, bruh, because I can be Heather's friend, right? But what destroys, what would destroy the relationship between me and Heather could be the type of boyfriend I turn into because I'm in a relationship. There's a metamorphosis there. And when we're friends, I can hang out with her. I can tell her honest stuff. If she asks me the question, oh, Jeff, does this outfit make my butt look big because we out shopping?
What?
I might joke with her and be like, girl, you crazy. And then, like, laugh it off. But when she asks the question, and I get it as her, and I might get that question as her boyfriend, I could definitely come at it differently because I'm a different creature in that relationship. So there's a metamorphosis that goes on there. You don't stay. Yes, you are friends, and the base is there, but you become somebody else. That's why, you know.
My question is, why should that change once you get in a relationship? If you and Heather are friends in the beginning and y'all go to the store and she asks, well, Jeff, does these pants make my butt look big? And you say yes, that answer shouldn't change once you get in a relationship. It shouldn't. It should be to say, make your butt look big. Get
a bigger pair. And if there are five guys who know for a fact that they've dated their best friend and had something like that happen to where the metamorphosis happened, they are raising their hands right now to the situation that the change happened. Just the same way as when we say two strangers, you meet that person. You meet the person's representative when you first meet them, whether that's at the club, the cookout, the laundromat, or the supermarket. And then once you start to spend that time and break down the rails, then you find out if homegirl is batshit crazy. Then you find out if old boy is the one who's going to hide in the bushes because he got trust issues. Then you find out if the chick that you're trying to date is a relationship warden, and she got all these rules and regulations for when you got to be in the house, how many rings on the phone before you answer it, and stuff like that. So those changes happen. Those those are real things that people have to deal with on a daily basis. And that's why I said. It's that statement that friends should be able to stay friends going into a relationship. That's a slippery slope, if you will.
Okay. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I think it shouldn't be. Nothing should change. Nothing should change. Only thing that should really, really change is the way y'all feel about one another, which is because you're in a relationship. Besides that, in my opinion, everything else should stay the same. I mean, that's what gets out to that point in the beginning. You know, is the honesty.
Well, I guess it's, you know, at the end of the day, to each his own. But hopefully through our conversation tonight, whether you strangers dating or your friends dating, you'll be able to have a great relationship. And if it doesn't work out, you hopefully by going through these principles we talk about tonight, you'll be able to, you know, maintain your friendship if it doesn't work, if your dating relationship doesn't work out. So now I want to let's talk about some of these ingredients. I've identified, huh?
Oh, I was gonna say before we talk about the ingredients, we do have a caller online.
Oh yay!
Yeah, so we have check this one out. We have Anonymous on the line. Hello, Anonymous.
Hello.
Thank you for calling Amongst Friends tonight, Anonymous. What's your question or comment?
Well, my comment is, I just wanted to say, as far as a relationship, the four things that I focus on is the four C's. And the first C stands for Christ. You know, for me, there's nothing like having a God-fearing man in your life that can lead your family, because whenever you're going through problems and decisions, you know that this man loves God that much that he's going to seek God for direction for his family. My second C is communication. It's important to have communication, because without that, how will the two parties understand each other and know what's going on and what's bothering one? And if you keep that to yourself, you harbor that, and then one day you just blow up, and it could have been something that it could have been resolved months or years ago with just simple communication and listening to one another. The third C is, my third C is compromise. And the reason why I say compromise is because we're all not going to have the same mindset. We're not going to all want to do the same thing. And so sometimes you have to play that give or take game. It's not your turn this time, it's her turn. It's not her turn, it's his turn. You know, so you have to have an open mind to do some things that the other person don't like. Like, I used to be married and my husband used to love jazz. I hated jazz, but I knew we couldn't always do what I wanted to do. I would have to go sit there and listen to jazz and suck it up, because that's what he wanted to do. And then the last C I have is compatibility. You have to have something in common in order for this to work. And sometimes you have to dig deep, and that's why I like the friendship thing of becoming friends before becoming lovers and husband and wife, is because friends start to learn each other, and y'all start to find out what y'all have in common. And y'all can take those common things, use that common ground at times when there are problems, for y'all to come together by using that common ground. And going back to what you guys know from the beginning, to rebuild or to remember why we fell in love in the first time, or why are we together anyway. But I just wanted to, you know, give my four C's. That's Christ, Christianity, whichever one you want to call it, communication, compatibility, and compromise. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anonymous.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And
we appreciate
a question for you, Anonymous.
Yes.
You have a question for me?
All right.
Is Anonymous still there?
Yes.
Or is she gone? Hey,
Anonymous. Still here.
How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Okay, great. My question is, and this is a scenario, and I guess the question is, would it work for you? Concerning the four C's, Christ, communication, compromise, and compatibility, what if three out of the four, what if the guy has three out of the four? Let's say he's a great communicator, everything is good on compromise and compatibility, but let's say he's of another faith. Would that work for you? and y'all are friends, and y'all decide to take it to the relationship stage, would you give that guy a chance?
Well, if I could be honest, my answer is no. And the reason why I say no, because you've seen I said Christianity and Christ was my first seat.
Okay.
It's important
okay.
to me because my faith is where my faith is. And, you know, that's no different than, you know, the Bible talks about people getting together unequally yoked. A lot of times that leaves a lot of room for destruction. And one thing about me and my mate, we can't go worship together if we have different faiths. So right there, our household is already separated from the door. Just like they talked about a lie, when something starts out at a lie, it ends in a lie. Well, that's already starting separation right there at the beginning of your union. You know, so it's like, whose church do you pick to get married in, his or hers? Whose religion do you decide to go by, his or hers? So that's why I choose to stick with someone with my same faith belief. And it is important to me to have a God-fearing man leading my household because, you know, I don't want to be led into destruction. And I don't want to come into my household all day, every day, arguing and fighting with my mate because of my beliefs and how I want to live, and he wants to live different. So that's an unequally yoked relationship from the beginning, so I wouldn't even get into it.
Woo, she said the yoke.
Okay.
Any more questions?
I know you're not going to get smart on your first time calling in. I know that daggone much.
No, I'm not getting smart. It's just that I'm very confident in what I know I want, and I don't compromise
yes,
it for
ma'am.
Anything.
No, ma'am, you don't. Get
her
off the line, please.
Have a good night.
Good. Thank you, Anonymous.
Thank you.
Forgive
Thank you.
Q. He didn't have his dinner tonight.
Yeah.
His sugar low. His sugar is low.
Wow. So let me ask if I can. To the ladies on the show tonight, do you have to be equally yoked, or does the old adage opposites attract, is that enough for you?
Wow.
Did the ladies hear me? Did the ladies hear me?
Can you repeat the question, please?
So my question is, does your man have to be equally yoked with you, or does the old adage, opposites attract, work better for you?
I mean, it can go either way. I don't expect him to be exactly like me and have the same personality. Like, I talk a lot, but my boyfriend is very quiet. So, you know, and it works out for us. So
mm-hmm.
I would never expect a man to be exactly like me and like everything that I like, want to do everything that I want to do, because he could like something else, and it'll open up my horizons and show me something different. So I think that when you do have some type of opposite attributes, you know, maybe it can help balance you guys out, you know. But I definitely don't believe that he has to be exactly like me. Because sometimes I think maybe it'll cause us to clash a little bit more, or you just never know. But, you know, I'm open to him being totally different. You know, he could be weird. That's fine. I'll work with that.
Just so Joey doesn't think that everybody is angry with Jesus. So I'm just going to put it out there, since Anonymous had to come in and bring, you know, Christ number one and make it first, and then Jeff's going to come back and ask that we need to be equally yoked. So exactly what is unequally yoked, that we don't have the same faith. I mean, are you talking about that we don't go, he go to church, but I don't, or he shout, and I be looking upside the head? I mean, so what's unequally yoked? So I can answer the question for you.
I think in my mind, what I've always pictured as to be yoked or unequally yoked, it is that whole situation. Like Anonymous says, she wants somebody to, I guess, lead her, I guess, sort of in her walk with Christ and in the relationship. So, it's, you know, to be equally yoked, you have to be of like mind that you want this relationship between a man and a woman and a woman, man and a man to work. It means that you have to have the mindset that you tend to your relationship with God as a couple and as individuals the same way. So the same, I guess, that same fervor or ferociousness that you attack your relationship, you also attack your relationship with God.
Check this out, right? Check it out. So you were saying that, you know, do you want somebody who's going to be equally yoked, or do you agree that, you know, opposites attract? Okay, so we could be opposite, and according to y'all's definition of what equally yoked mean, being what James Hackley said, I hope I was not supposed to call you out, but he said when two people are not pulling in the same direction, then
yes.
Okay, hold up, Joey. We ain't passing the collection plate. But I could be an opposite to a dude, but we're still going into the same direction. So let's just say I love the world, I love people and all this kind of stuff, and I go to church every Sunday, every Tuesday night. I'm in Bible study. Whenever the doors of the church is open, I am in there too. But my mate is not necessarily into the whole church thing because it's all about tradition. But when we're together, we have fun, we're going towards the same direction. It is just that we're doing two different things. We're still going down the same road. So, really, does it matter if we're opposite as long as we're going in the same direction?
But Deidre, I think I can say this because I've seen it happen. Some people would see your relationship situation, let's just say what you explain is your relationship situation. Some people would see that and say that your relationship situation is damned.
Okay, guess what? And see, this is what we say to those people. Mind your business and take two or three seats. How about that?
Well,
this goes on to another point in having a good relationship is being able to respect that relationship. Whatever works with you two shouldn't matter what anybody else. You know, yes, I understand that everybody feels that relationships should have some type of this is what a relationship looks like. But really and truly, if it works for you guys, that's all that matters.
Well,
it's when you start bringing other people into your relationship is when you start having problems.
And I understand that wholeheartedly. That's a very beautiful thing you said. So what I'm going to say to you is that next time you go to church, I want you to lean forward, tap First Lady, and I want you to whisper that same thing in her ear and tell her to leave you the hell alone. Because that's the one that's probably...
Okay, first of all, I ain't got to tell the First Lady to leave me the hell alone. The place of worship that I go to, she already leaving me alone.
Anyway,
I'm grown. But I ain't going to say that she ain't praying for me. but I'm an adult.
So, thank you, Deidre. We appreciate your breaking down.
I have to break it down. Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay. So, again, the number is 760-683-2662. Press 1 if you have a question or comment. We want to thank Anonymous for calling in and sharing her 4 C's. And I'm hoping that everybody is not angry with Jesus because he's all right.
Hey, Joey.
You're not endorsing 4 C's.
Hi, Heather. Oh. Hi. I like the 4 C's, but hey, to each his own. To each his own. I love the 4 C's.
Ladies and gentlemen, the woman who gave us the 4 C's is back in the queue. Anonymous is back in the queue.
Hey, Anonymous.
Anonymous and Jay?
Why your mama name you Anonymous?
I just wanted to make a couple things clear. I'm not trying to offend nobody by all means. The talk show had said, call in if you want to give your opinion of a good relationship, and not my opinion of a good relationship. I have been in a relationship where I've been with a worldly person before, and it was not a pleasant home. Now, if that works for somebody else, that's great. I was just giving my opinion of what works for me and what I like.
Exactly.
And us being equally yoked in Christ doesn't mean that we have to have everything else the same. But our walk in Christ and in our higher calling is what I have to have the same in my household. Because, see, we both can't war against two different gods in my household. You know what I mean?
I know that's right.
And so that's why I was giving my opinion for me and how I want to live. You know, I don't want to come home and my husband's sitting downstairs smoking on my couch. I don't do cigarette smoke. You know what I mean? So, therefore, I don't even date anyone who smokes. Why? Because it can go anywhere. It can go further than that. So, there are certain things from the door when I meet a guy that I will just cancel the thought of having a relationship with him because of certain things that I choose to deal with and choose not to deal with. Like, I raised my children in my house with my husband. Well, we're now divorced. And we didn't run around the house. We didn't cuss around my kids. I don't cuss at my kids. I don't call my kids names. I raise my kids in a godly home. Now, if I have a mate that's not on the same page with me as that is concerned, he's running around the house cussing, he's smoking, he's doing everything else, and that's not the household I brought my children up in. So to me, it's important to have someone equally yoked in Christ in order for a relationship to work. Now, as far as us having differences, yes, it is nice to have someone who has differences with you because you do learn other things. But I'm talking about as far as my faith.
Yes, ma'am.
He has to be equally yoked. He can't be sitting on the park bench and I'm at church. He can't be laying up in the bed sucking up the heat and I'm praising God. We got to do that together.
I know that's right.
And that's how we lift each other and build each other and raise our children. Other than that, then he's no man for me. Now, that might be good for some other people. I ain't knocking nobody. I ain't judging nobody because I ain't got no hell or heaven to put nobody in. I just gave the opinion as to what I want. That was it. So I didn't want to offend nobody or have no one think that if they're not with someone equally yoked that, you know, that it's wrong. That's their opinion, and they have to answer to God about, you know, whatever choices they make in life.
And Ms. Anonymous, please know that this show is about people sharing their opinions. You are definitely welcome to share your opinion. I appreciated your 4 C's. Thank you very much for sharing. And we, like I said, this is we are not offended. Some of us just have not had food, and so our sugars are low, and they just need to eat some food. But I love you, Anonymous.
Now, I'm going to tell y'all.
I mean,
on the health aspect of it, make sure you keep some food. Make sure you keep
right.
Your banana, some water, a yogurt, something. Get your nutrition in, okay?
Really good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, listen, I didn't say no names. I said some of us. I said some of us. So if your shoe fits, you got to wear it. Because Anonymous says she called it. First of all, she called in to give her opinion because that's what the show said. So I was just clarifying and reaffirming her that she is welcome to give her opinion.
And she
that
is very much welcome to give her opinion, but we also have other opinions. Ain't nobody offended. We just talking because guess what? We amongst friends.
Well, now, I'm offended with what Georgia said. Nobody's offended, and we definitely don't want to give that impression that we're offended, and this is definitely about our opinions. My concern is that when we go to talking about being equally yoked and all serving Christ, yes, we can also serve together, but what about the other gods we have in our lives?
There should be no other gods.
No, we do have other gods.
Yeah, but I said there should be no other ones.
There should not be, but there are. And so when we talk about being equally yoked, it is much more than being both Baptist or both Christian or both Catholic or both Muslim. It's bigger than that. And to try to make it just that is unfair and isn't, to me, a quality assessment of being equally yoked. So we have a call on the line, Carol from Maryland.
Oh, hi.
Hey, Carol.
Hi. So actually, I know Joe, so I ended up by logging on, and I heard that last caller. And, you know, I have to say I'm married and new to Christianity, and I can see what the previous caller was saying. However, the one thing that I think that is really important is my husband's Catholic, and I'm just Christian. I don't know if there's a label to it. He smokes. I smoke. All those little things, I don't think God really, you know what I'm saying? That's not the important part of it. I think the root of it is that we believe in the same values, and that's what keeps us together.
Absolutely, Carol. Carol, you know what? Carol, I'm glad you know Joey, because what Joey's going to do the next time he sees you, he's going to give you a hug for me, because this further confirms my point that in those four C's, she talked about communication, compromise, and what was the other one?
Compatibility.
Compatibility. So if you're compatible, as Carol and her husband obviously are, and they communicate, I'm Christian, newly, and you're Catholic.
I've been Catholic for years. Newly Christian.
Right, so she's newly Christian, and they know to compromise. So you do have to communicate, this is what I believe, this is how I believe. And I don't think that God is going to condemn their household or send Carol to hell because she is married to someone who's Catholic, or her husband is going to be lost because he's married to someone who is of the Christian belief. I believe that there are a set of standards for their home, morally and religiously, that they collaborate on.
Well, I kind of just think Christian is Christian.
I agree.
The sex is not important. You know, I mean,
I believe
Catholic
that Carolyn
is together
in worship. I sat next to a Muslim person and worshiped, and they worship whoever, whatever they were worshiping, and my God is big enough for me to worship next to them.
All righty.
No, I guess my point was basically that it's not, to me, and the only thing that got me to Christianity is the relationship with God through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and all that. And no matter what you label it, Catholic, Methodist, whatever across the line is, it's about a relationship with God and what the Bible says. And that's just so black and white to me. There's no gray area to it, that none of the other stuff should matter. If, like, we believe in the same thing, then, and that's God, and Jesus, and there you go. Time, you know, end of story.
Well, thank you, Carol. Thank you for calling in and listening. I appreciate you. You already know I love you. So thank
yeah,
you for calling
too.
In. We have Patricia from Maryland on the line. Patricia, what's your question or comment?
I have a hello. Hello.
Patricia?
Yes. I don't know if you can hear me or not. I'm Patricia. I've called her before. I have a cold, so I'm under the weather. However, I just want to say this. I'm Adventist. I'm Seventh-day Adventist. And with that said, I believe, you know, in open communication, having an open line of communication with your person you're in a relationship with. And if you don't have that, if you don't have that communication, you kind of don't have anything. The same thing with prayer, praying, you know, openly praying, having that communication with God. I think that's important. With that said, also, sometimes when you date someone and they're your friend prior, afterwards it doesn't really work out. Like, it's awkward. It doesn't work well. That's why I think I agree with Joey. Sometimes some friends should not date or should not go be in a relationship. I agree with that. I don't think that's meant for everybody. So that was kind of my comment. And I think you guys are great. I like listening to you guys on Wednesday. You're great to listen
to.
That's what you're doing.
Thank
awesome.
You, Patricia.
I like the new host guy. Yo, he's hilarious.
Don't laugh at you, Patricia.
I love Deidre, but I just think it's funny, just the commentary. Y'all are funny. So, yeah. Because I work at night, so sometimes
Patricia.
I don't listen. But I love y'all. Y'all are great.
Thank you, Patricia.
Okay. Oh, you're welcome, my dear. Yeah.
I want
to next week.
Yeah, for all of y'all that are listening, Deidre doesn't discourage anybody from voicing their opinions. Everyone's entitled to it. That was my point, and my point only. It's just that we have different opinions. You're free to share whatever you want to, whatever works for you, whatever works for your relationship. I believe I said that a couple of times when I've spoken tonight. So I just wanted to make sure that that was.
And so as Deidre has is explaining her point, which we appreciate, her opinion and her point, we love everyone here. We love all the Amongst Friends crew. And all of you that listen and call in, this is Amongst Friends. So we want you to feel free to share your opinions. And just know that your opinions will be commented on, but it is not meant to discourage or push anyone away. So we want you to keep those fingers dialing 760-683-2662. Press that 1, and don't be scared to share your opinions, or you can place them in our Facebook group, Amongst Friends Radio Talk Show, and just have at it, because we big enough. Amongst Friends, the Amongst Friends crew is big enough to handle it, and we grown and sexy, so let's have some grown and sexy conversation. That's
hey,
what
hey,
it's
Joey.
All about. So,
Joey?
Yes, ma'am.
I think we have a caller named James from Sterling.
Yes, oh, hey, James from Sterling.
Hey, greetings, everyone.
Brother Jay, what's up, boy?
Hey, Q, I hear that you're a bit hypoglycemic tonight, man. Hey, guys, let me say this. It's my first time listening to the show, and you guys have something special. It's a healing show because a lot of the issues you guys are touching on, folks don't have a venue that they can talk to others about.
Mm.
So in the couple of minutes that I've been listening, I'm like, these guys, they've pulled together something special, and I applaud you for that. You know, that you guys are doing that. Now, from what I've heard so far, these are my comments. You know, be it the four C's or anything else, it's very important that we understand that any relationship, there are poles, if you will, in the tent of a relationship. They may be the four C's, whatever they are. And if folks don't agree on those poles in a relationship tent, then the tent's going to fall apart. And I think that addresses the issue about can friends go into relationships, because you can kick it with someone, but if they don't share those poles in a relationship, that relationship is doomed for failure.
Mm. I love
that's
it.
That's my friend. You understand?
I love
that's
it.
My,
thank,
that's my
thank.
Boy. That's my boy.
pause for James from Sterling. Yay.
Thank you, James. Thank you for
up,
the encouragement.
Keep up the good work, guys, really.
Yeah, thank you.
God thank
bless.
You. Thank
boy,
you.
That's my boy. That's my boy. Okay.
All right. So we, so look, we at 10:05, and we, I definitely want us to hit some of these points really quick. But I'm loving the open and transparent conversation that's going on. Our callers are going in tonight. Our listeners are going in tonight, which we appreciate because that just keeps us rolling and keep us interested. So let's just talk about the ingredients to a great relationship. And the, again, these are 7 points. There are probably 100 different ingredients to making a great relationship, and everyone will, you know, probably have their own way of making sweet potato pie or chitlins and pork rinds. Well, I hope nobody's relationship consists of chitlins and pork rinds, but if that works for you, it works for you. But one of the things is, one of the seven that I want us to kind of talk about, the first one is to see the relationship as an opportunity to give. My Monk's Friends crew and our listeners, what do y'all think about seeing the relationship as an opportunity to give? Do you think that's a good ingredient, and why?
Well, I guess it's a good thing.
What was it again? I'm sorry.
See the relationship as an opportunity to give.
Well, it all depends on what do you want to give. I mean, I guess in most relationships, everybody, a person wants to give themselves, give their all into the relationship. I don't think, once you give your all, I don't know if there's anything else to give.
Well, you know what? Let me just say this really quick. I think that a lot of times we go into relationships expecting what to get from it. And so this point, I'm kind of feeling, because it kind of puts you in the mind frame to, okay, what am I going to give? Not what I'm going to get from the relationship, but what am I going to give? And I that's not to say that you shouldn't want to get something from a relationship, but I guess it's the mindset in which you go in or which you approach the relationship. And if it's all about what I want, what I want, what I want, what I need, what I need, what I need, that you're not giving. And I really think that relationships should be based on a give and take, but both people need to be about giving to their significant other. The second one is being willing to change. Now, that's a hard one. That's a hard one.
Joey, huh?
Q, it could be. We are not talking about you changing your name, you changing your religion. It could be just as simple as you making a change from you didn't like wasabi sauce to your lady friend took you to a place, you tried wasabi sauce because she asked you to and you said yes, and you tried it and you liked it. It could be a small change just as that. You about to jump off the cliff. Don't scare me. I can feel it.
My comment is, it depends. It depends. like what Jeffy said, something like menial, like, you know, like the wasabi sauce. First of all, I hate wasabi, so I'm not going to like that no time soon. But if your significant other wants you to do a significant change, that's going to be a problem. That's going to be a problem, you know?
But you know what? I really think people, I think change is important, but you're right. You're right, Q. Change is hard. And changing yourself, especially for men, I believe it's for women too, but I'm just speaking from perspective of a man. we men, we work so hard to kind of build who we are and our image and establish ourselves as men. And so when we get with our, when we get with the women that we love, or, you know, maybe you're a man that loves other men, you know, I ain't knocking that. That's what you do. But, you know, you get with this other person, and there's something about you that you have established that you don't, that they're saying, it doesn't work for me. Can you change it? And we're not willing to change that thing. And honestly, just being willing to change, not who you are, but maybe just that piece of you that is kind of negatively impacting the relationship. Like for me, I've always been one to speak my mind. I come from a family. We didn't have family secrets, that kind of thing. You know, we kind of put my immediate family, not my entire family. Family got, you know, families have secrets. But just in my household, you know, we were raised, if you have a problem, if you have an issue, you put it out there. We hash it out. My parents would be like, this is the only time you get to use cuss words to express yourself in my presence, you know. And then after that, we squash it and we keep it moving. And so I kind of just take that mentality. I kind of took that teaching, you know, out with me, you know. Most people appreciate me being able to just deal with problems, pull you to the side and be like, look, you disrespected me or you offended me, let's hash it out and, you know, let's be cool. But I've gotten to relationships where that didn't work for people, and I had to change that or temper it to kind of, you know, to help make the relationship work. But it was hard for me because it was something that I was used to doing, but it was also something that I viewed as a good thing. And so being willing to change in your relationship, and it might not be as drastic as that, or, you know, but just being willing to change, I think, is important. Number three, being willing to admit your mistakes. Another hard thing, being willing to admit when you're wrong. Mm. Mm.
Don't make me say I was wrong for picking you.
I think it's harder for women to make just to admit that they're wrong than men. It's strictly gender.
Yeah, because they wrote the book on being right.
Some of them. I kind of agree.
Did you agree with me?
No, that was Brittany. That was not Deidre.
No, I didn't agree with you.
That was Brittany.
I'm very stubborn, and I'm trying to get past that whole admitting when I'm wrong and, you know, apologizing first.
It all depends on the part of the relationship.
It is a challenge, but I do believe that you should own up to it and admit when you're wrong, and I'm working on that.
Thank you, sweetie. I appreciate you. And this is the funny thing, Q.
This sort of proves my point. I am a friend of Brittany, and she does not come off that way. She does not convey that she is like stubborn. But her boyfriend, on the other hand, he knows stubborn Brittany.
Somebody's phone is going off. I hope nobody not getting in trouble.
Oh my goodness.
No, that's so true. I hate to put gender in it, but I honestly do think that, I mean, it's difficult for me to admit I'm wrong when I think I'm right, but I'll do it. But I really think that for some women, I'm not going to say all because I ain't trying to get in trouble, but I do think for some women, they just think they right regardless. And even when they dead wrong, they will cook you dinner, they will wash your clothes, they will even take a knee before they say, I was wrong, baby. I was wrong. Because that's just a hard thing from them. That's just
a
hard thing
from
them.
If they take a knee in front of me, it's on. I'm sorry.
Who in the corner?
Q. Just go. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Just go to the corner.
Oh, my goodness. So four is listen first. So we kind of already talked about the importance of listening. And actually, the truth of the matter is that in effective communication, a person should do more listening than they do talking. And I know for most of our people in the Amongst Friends crew, we good at talking. We got
Jerry, we got work
on our listening.
Just to go back to your first point on see the relationship as an opportunity to give.
Okay.
One of our chatters said, Joey, I am on board with that because change is great. My wife opened me up to theater and opened me up to express the words, I love you.
Wow.
Aww.
How beautiful.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta be willing to. I definitely think you gotta be willing to give and be willing to change. I think that's just very important to having a great relationship. Supporting your partner. This is deep. This right here is really, really, really important. Because a lot of relationships end very poorly, very badly, when people don't feel supported by the one they're in relationship with. So, I mean, maybe some of their ideas or their dreams might be crackpot or crazy, but I just think support is just so important. And even if it's just like knowing that, you know what, even if you fail and you know that your partner, this one might, this idea or this thought or this thing or whatever might fail, just them knowing that you're going to be there to catch them or pick them up or what have you, and you're not going to be there pointing the finger and judging them or what, you know, whatever the case may be, or however they view support in the relationship, knowing that your significant other supports you and has your back is like a great solidifier for a relationship.
Okay.
What? What, Q?
Nothing.
Well, I see, Q, that you said that supporting your partner, that it should be number one or two. And let me say this. The way that they are listed does not denote the order that they should go. I think these 7 points, it just should be foundational. So there is no you got to do number one to get to number two. I think it should be either foundational or this word always gives me trouble, but cyclical, or it's a continuum that goes around and around kind of thing. But yeah, the supporting your partner, you didn't have anything to say, Q, because you was teetering.
You know what? I understand that it's okay to support your partner, but you know what if your partner has what you think as unrealistic possibilities? You know. It's something like, well, baby, you know, in 5 years, you know, I want us to go to the moon. You know what I'm saying? It all depends on that person's expectations. Of course you want to be in their corner, but at some point you gotta tell your partner, you know what, I'm gonna need you to come down to earth a little bit because you're tripping. And it's not being mean, it's just being realistic. So it all depends on the person. It all depends on the expectations of what, you know, of what the support is. If it's crazy, if it's something out there, it's something way out there, that person has to be reeled into reality.
Yeah, and you know what? But Q, because I just got the 10-minute usher that came and tapped me on my shoulder. But just to speak to that really quickly, I think it's the way that you kind of bring them back to reality that, because you can kind of tell somebody, you know what, this is not a great idea, and they still feel supported by you, and then tell them, or you say it, and it makes them feel completely, completely abandoned by you. So I think it's the way that you do it, because of course your partner wants you to be honest and upfront with them. But you can do that and still be supportive. And I think a lot of times we miss the mark because we just don't feel like dealing with it, or we don't want to have to deal with the kind of the backlash of failure. Or we're upset. A lot of times it's get back. Oh, you didn't support me, so I'm not going to support you. You know, it could be a number of things. So it's all in the way that you say it, I think. I really do think it's the way that you say it.
I agree.
Yes, we got a caller.
Yes, we have Carol from Maryland back on the line.
Hi, Carol. Hey, Carol.
Yeah, I know. You guys, I love it. This is the first time I've listened to you guys, and I can't help but keep calling. So I'm speaking from a point of view of being married, but when you're talking about support, it's across the board. You support them, no matter if they make bad decisions, wrong choices. It's important for them to know that there's someone, and you made that commitment. You're there. You may not agree with it, but you're still there behind them, and that's what's going to let that relationship grow further. And I'm going to point out, definitely nothing wrong with a bit of counseling if you really disagree, you know, with each other's point of view. You know, getting that different perspective.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Carl.
Oh, really? I got nothing on that one? Like, you don't see, like, this is, like, it's level of support, no matter what. If a person feels supported at any level, it's like, okay, I'm not really agreeing with what you're saying or this or that, I'm still there for you. I'm still here. I'm still present. I'm still going to be your partner. I think that's what's going to make a relationship strong.
And I think that's what Joey kind of...
That's exactly what he was saying.
That's exactly what he was saying. You know, it's
tough, isn't it? Right? Because you may completely disagree with what your partner is saying.
It's tough, but you know, the stickler in all this, even though you're trying to be in his corner or be in his or her corner, but you're being realistic. That person may take it the wrong way also. They may take it as, well, you're not being supportive of me, even though in your heart and your intention, you are. It's what you said, maybe the words that you said to him or her, you know, kind of rub your significant other the wrong way. So, like you said, it's tricky and it's dicey.
It is. I think, though, I guess that comes into the communication part that you guys were talking about. As long as you can say, I'm going to be here for you no matter what, however I feel this way, then at least they feel like you're still there for them, but you can still voice your own opinion.
Yeah.
So that's what I had to say. You guys are fantastic. I mean, this
thank
is the
you,
first
Carol.
Time I see you guys, and this is wonderful. I'll be listening next Wednesday.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you so much.
You guys have a good night. I'll keep listening.
Okay.
All right, so we coming up. Oh, man, I'm getting so sad because we coming up on, we got 5 more minutes. So the last 2 points are be open to your partner and 7, have integrity. But quickly, I want us to, the Amongst Friends crew and even our listeners, if they want to jump in really quick, tell me really quick just some do's and don'ts of relationships. And a don't for me is don't expect to give, but don't expect to receive and not be willing to give. Take a knee campaign.
Take a knee.
Really?
I told you.
Anywho.
I think one of the don'ts of a relationship is my number one thing of please don't lie. Even if you know the truth may hurt my feelings, guess what? I'll be okay later. I will. Really and truly, I will. I may be upset. I may even cry. But please don't lie to me. Don't do that. Just don't do it.
I think for me, a great tip would be to try to see things through your significant other's eyes.
Oh, that's
okay.
Good. I think what happens sometimes is we all get convoluted in our thoughts, in our thought processes as to how we should figure out a solution and without even thinking about the other person's feelings. So, you know, it may be a good idea to, like, you know, let me, you know, put on my peepers and see and try to get a grasp of what my significant other is thinking so, you know, we can continue forward with whatever. That's it. That's mine.
I like it.
And that's personal for me because I know I've been guilty of doing that a lot. So that's one thing that I have to learn to do.
Someone said, "Don't try to change your partner." That's good. That's good.
Or you have to take a knee again.
Well, I think you should just do that anyway, ladies.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with dudes taking the knee too, hallelujah. Ain't nothing wrong.
I think it should be a win-win situation. And hence why they got 69 position.
So, I love the way you think, my dude. I love the way you think.
Move on to the next thing. My gosh.
Whatever, Deidre. Well, actually, Deidre, you good.
Deidre good?
What Deidre good at?
I'm asking.
Oh, my goodness. So in our last 2 minutes, because I'm not trying to get nobody called, we want to thank you guys. Killed. I'm sorry, getting nobody killed. We want to thank you guys for calling in to Amongst Friends. Tonight, we just was talking about the ingredients of a great relationship. I want you guys to tweet,
goodness.
Put hashtags. I want you to Facebook. I want you to do whatever you can to get the word out for Amongst Friends that next week we are talking about the psyche of a chubby chaser. Give it up for the big
girl.
So please, I tweet it, hashtag it, put it on your Facebook that Amongst Friends, Wednesday night, 9 p.m. next week is talking about the psyche of a chubby chaser because we're giving it up for the big girls. Big girls need love, too. They need love, too. 760-683-2662. Yes, Q.
I ate your food, really?
That's what you stopped me from. I'm trying to market this thing, and you stopped me. Yes, you ate some food because you spit some knowledge, and your sugar is back to normal levels. I love you guys. All jokes aside, I love you guys. I appreciate every Wednesday that we get to talk. We get to share our opinions, our thoughts. I learned something new. I've enjoyed this conversation. I am looking forward to next week's conversation because the psyche of a chubby chaser. But, yeah, big girls need love, too. Jeff,
yes, they do.
Take us out.
Amongst friends, all up in your area. We got top picks causing mass hysteria. Crew 4D, peak the technique. We hit you hard from the pew to the street. Amongst friends, for the ladies, for the men. Just 21, or wearing the pants. Fab or combo that you like. Come and get with us tonight. Amongst friends, fab or combo. Amongst friends, fab or combo. Grown and sexy, baby. Grown and sexy, baby. Amongst friends, Fabo Convo. Amongst friends, Fabo Convo. Grown and sexy, baby. Grown and sexy, baby.
Man, this tonight was fun. Joe, you killed it, son. You killed it, son.
That's funny. You need to do better.
Oh, my goodness.
You're trying to make Jasmine be cute? None of this?
Say what? I didn't say what? I said nothing.
Mm-hmm. You know what? We're not going to do that. So, see y'all next week.
Yeah.
Y'all stay blessed. I'll holler.
Yo,
have a good night, everyone.